This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك وإنه المجيد والعليم والقادر القدير والحليم وإنه السميع والبصير والأول الآخر والستير الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك والظاهر الباطن والكبير والوارث الرقيب والنصير سبحانه البارئ والمصور والقابض البارئ
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Brothers and sisters in Islam, I would like to talk to you today about عبودية قلبية, a servitude of the heart. It's called حسن الظن بالله سبحانه وتعالى. حسن الظن بالله سبحانه وتعالى. The best way to translate this is to assume the best about Allah and expect the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You assume the best about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you expect the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, just 3 days before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left a will pertaining to the subject to the ummah at large. Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah fi sahihihi compiled hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. Jabir said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just 3 days before he passed away, while he was going through his final illness, saying, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ. None of you should die except in a state or while having positive, excellent, the best expectation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفي معجم الطبراني حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه صحح سند الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, أنا عند ظن عبدي بي, I am the way my slave think of me or expect me to be. فإن خيرا, if you expect, if you think Allah will give you goodness, فله, it will be goodness. And if you think it is bad, then it will be bad. ويقول ابن مسعود فيما أخرج ابن أبي الدنيا في كتابه, ما أعطي عبد شيئا خيرا من حسن الظن بربه. Actually, he took an oath on this. He said, والذي لا إله إلا هو, ابن مسعود عبد الله رضي الله عنه, the companion, he's saying, والذي لا إله إلا هو, by the one, there is no one worthy of worship except he, subhanah. A slave of Allah is not given anything better than having good expectation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, husn al-dhan, like I started, is the act of the heart, ibadah qalbiyya. This is why it has to be accompanied with the action of the limbs. So, yes, you're having good expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you're striving to do the best. You're thinking, assuming the best about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expecting the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you're striving, while you're working. Otherwise, it would be ghurur, deception. And subhanallah, this is what Christians turned their religion into. They said, all what you have to do is have faith in the grace of Allah. That's it. That he sent his son down to earth to die for you. You're at ease. You're good. Hada hu, which is really distorted theology, because Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he came confirming the Torah, confirming the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you still have to strive to do your best. And meanwhile, expect the good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, in the time I have today, there are certain occasions, certain times in our lives where this servitude, ubudiyyat, husnul dhann billah, must skyrocket, must mount, it must increase in order to help you out. And one of these first occasions, let's quote five or six of them, is when you find yourselves completely engulfed in sins. Right, left. A lot of us, by the way, think, I can't be good. I can't meet up with Allah. And this is, by the way, one of the tools that shaitan uses on us. ولذلك Iblis, the name Iblis, derives from an Arabic noun called Al-Balas, which is despair. That you find yourself, you're engaged in so many sins that you're convincing yourself that you cannot straighten your life, that you cannot become a better Muslim, This is su'dhan billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually having ill thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have good thought, husn dhan, because after all, who's going to help you become a better Muslim? Who will? Who? You? Your means? La. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, أحسن الظن بربك. أحسن الظن بربك. Even, ya ikhwa, we find sometimes, willfully, willingly, or unwillingly, ourselves in a fitna with the brothers. You know, you're trying to do something and you find yourself in a fitna. And you know, you're trying to fix it, but it's not fixed. Sometimes you just have to just take a back seat, go to the back, and have husn dhan billah that Allah will sort things out for you. If you exhausted the means, if you tried, again, I don't want you to think that you should be passive about the situation. No, you should be proactive to the best that you can be. But now, leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hand it, to handle the situation for you. I go back to the sins. Al-Hafidh al-Dhahabi, fi kitabihi Siyar A'lam al-Nubala, in the biography of one of the scholars of the Ummah called Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, Abu Ali, one of the outstanding scholars of this Ummah, and subhanallah, he used to be someone who would sit on the road to steal the caravans and kill people and steal basically houses. So he said, one day while I'm stealing one of the houses, I ended up having a relationship with one of the women. And for me to go to that house, I have to climb and walk on the floors of multiple houses. So one night I'm going to meet my date. And then as he is walking, someone was praying tahajjud. And he's reciting these verses fi Surah Al-Hadid. You know what the verse says? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. Have the time come for the hearts of those who believe to be affected, to be touched by the revelation? Al-Fudayl said, Wallahi, by Allah, this verse was like somebody struck me, like a stroke in my heart. I got frozen on the top of the house. I couldn't move. Why I'm quoting this verse, ya ikhwa? The next verse to it, or the verse after it, اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. Be informed that Allah gives life to earth after its death. Very soon we're approaching the spring, where you have to take care of your backyards and front yards, and the leaves are out and the green. Subhanallah. Look, be informed that Allah gives life to earth after it was dead. Likewise, all what you have to do is give the revelation a chance in your lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can resurrect you exactly the way that He resurrects earth. So quickly. But again, you have to have good expectation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we make dua, this is the time also to have good expectation about Allah. Assume the best from Allah. Assume the best about Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to fulfill my dua, and expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to let you down. You know, we make a lot of dua. The ummah make a lot of dua. But what is missing is this component. Good expectation, that you assume the best about Allah, meaning Allah is almighty, Allah is powerful, Allah can make what you're asking happen. Two, Allah is not going to let you down. He said, Subhana. Rasul Sallallahu said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Subhana. If you make dua, you get one of the three. Whether you get what you ask for, one. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will avert you from a calamity equals the blessing, the bounty you're asking for. Three, Allah will spare it for you in the hereafter. So when you make dua, yaqeen, certainty, husn dhan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill this dua. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to let you down, brothers and sisters in Islam. In the story of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, it is really one of the most fascinating stories that you read. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam is one of the companions who was given glad tidings of Jannah. Min al-Ashra, yani. The night of al-Jamal, Laylatul al-Jamal, the battle, he called upon his son Abdullah. فقال له يا بني. He said to him, يا بني, إني أراني أول من يقتل غدا. I think I'm gonna die tomorrow. I have a lot of debt. The hadith states that he owed ألف ألف دينار, almost 2 million something like dinar, a lot of debt. But how he acquired this debt, by the way, the people used to trust him. The people used to trust him, so he was like a bank. So they would get the money, keep this money for me. Now, if you give me $1,000 and ask, that's the ruling, and ask me to keep it for you, if someone comes and steals the $1,000, I'm not obliged to give it back to you. All what I have to tell you is, sorry, I lost it. Got stolen. Fazubayr used to tell the person, okay, give it to me as a debt, as a loan. Now if I lose it, I have to what? That's how he acquired all this debt. فَهِي كَوْلْدَ بُنْ يَسْنَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنَ الزُّبَيْرِ وَلَهُ قِصَّةِ رضي الله عنه. فَقَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. He said, my son, I think I'm going to be one of the first people to die tomorrow in this battle. Please take care of my debt. يَا إِخْوَى الْإِدَّيْنَ هَذَا. Debt is... النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استعاذ منه وأعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. I seek refuge with you from the weight, the heavy weight of debt. Then he said to him, my son, if you do not find money to pay my debt, I want you to go to al-Haram in Mecca and you make this dua, ya mawla al-Zubayr, addi an al-Zubayr dayna. O mawla of al-Zubayr, the protector of al-Zubayr, pay back the debt of al-Zubayr. Wallahi Abdullah, his son swears, by Allah, any time that I would come across a hardship that I'm unable to pay back the people, I would go to the haram and I would make this dua 3 times. Ya mawla al-Zubayr, addi an al-Zubayr adayna. I would find the money to pay back his debt. Hada husn dhan billah. This is husn dhan billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the servitude that elevates you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, so many times we're asked to give. And when we have the money, when we're able to, but we do not give. Why? Because of ill thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give you back the money. See, just to give you the spirit of what I'm trying to say here. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, I would have 20 dinar, more or less. I could be mistaken in the number here. Al-Hadith al-Bukhari. And if I would wait for 3 nights without giving it out, without giving it in sadaqah, Allah is going to tell me, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, what did you think of Allah? That Allah is not going to replace this money for you? That's why you want to withhold it? You want to keep it? القصة المشهورة عبد الرحمن بن عوف. He's one of the 10 as well. One of the 10 companions giving glad tidings of Jannah. In the summer, during a time of drought, فسبحانallah, he received 900 camels carrying all type of food, vegetation. 900 camels. So these 900 camels passed by the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. So you know when camels walk, they kind of make a sound to the extent that the room shaked. Fa'aisha asked, who's this? They said, Ya Ummana, our mother, this is the caravan of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf passing by, 900 camels. Then she said, Innahu rajulun yadkhulul jannata bimali. Abdul Rahman hada, a man who will enter Jannah by the virtue of his money. When Abdul Rahman heard this, the statement was conveyed to him, even though he knows that he was named in Hadith Sunan Tirmidhi, he's from the tent, but he came to Aisha radiallahu anha and he said, is it true, Ya Ummah, my mother, is it true? He said, it is true. I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying something in that context. He said, Ushhidullah, he said, I bear witness that those 900 camels carrying all this food for the sake of Allah, giving it for the sake of Allah. So he goes out. As soon as he goes out, all the businessmen in Medina meet him. Ya Abdul Rahman, sell us your caravan. How much will you give? How much will you give? He said, we'll give you twice. He said, no, three times. Three times the amount, yeah, double, triple. They went as far as five times and they said to him, no one in the Arabia does this. He said, you know what? I got 700 times already. I have a deal for 700 times. With who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the people came to him and he said to him, couldn't you just keep 200 for your family? He said, what do you want to do with somebody who spends something in the morning? He receives 10 times in the evening. What I'm going to, if I give it out now, I get it back 10 times in the evening. So, husn dhan billah subhanahu. And stinginess, by the way, is because of this, that a person is afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an oath on this. Thalatha, three things I'm willing to take an oath on is ma naqasa malun min sadaqah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, another time we need to have these high expectations, good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you're sick. When you get sick, you know, sometimes we get inflicted with a disease here and there. You must have good thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah inshallah is going to cure you, is going to help you. Alhamdulillah, you've been healthy, just temporarily, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this a means for me to expiate some of my sins. This is the positive attitude that Islam instills in us at these times of calamities, at these times of hardship. Fil adab al-mufrad wa sunan al-tirmidhi, Ibn Abbas is the narrator. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit an old man who was suffering or going through illness. He was having severe fever. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, he made the dua. He said, لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. لا بأس, يعني, is a term, طهور. This disease you're going through is tahur. Whether he's making dua that Allah will cure him, or whether tahur, cleansing, in the sense that you going through the illness will cleanse you from your sins. That's how you should think when you're sick, that Allah is cleansing you from sins, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you cure. You know what the man said? Nay, la. بَلْ حُمَّ تَفُورُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُزِيرُهُ الْقُبُورُ. This is a severe boiling fever on an old man like me, which is going to lead me to go to my grave. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَنْ هِيَ, then it is. And he left. 2 days later, he passes away. فَحُسْنِ الظَّنِّ عُبُودِيَّةِ is a servitude that helps us to maintain a positive attitude even at the times of calamities. Brothers and sisters in Islam, one of these times also where you need to develop this servitude is when someone dies. Especially, ikhwah, if that person is dear to you, is beloved to you. Wallahi, ya ikhwah, if you go through the Quran and the Sunnah and just boot the calamities and the hardships in the scale, the top of the line that you lose your son or daughter, that your child passes away, is a heartbreaking experience. It's tough. It's extremely tough. Yani, just to show you, Sufyan al-Thawri Muhaddith, one of the scholars of Hadith, he came across the text about, you know, the calamity of losing your son or daughter, and the reward if you have good expectation about Allah or assume goodness that Allah did this for a wisdom, to the extent that his son one day was walking in front of him. هذا أيضا عند الحافظ الذهبي. You know what? The thought occurred to him in his chest. He thought about it. You know what he said? يا بني ألا تموت فأحتسبك. Because again, he read the reward if you're patient. ما هو يقول لك إيه؟ عظم الجزاء لعظم البلاء. The harder the calamity, the greater the reward. They're not equal. So he read the hadith regarding the hardship and the reward for the hardship. So his son, by the way, walked in front of him, and the thought occurred to him. He said, "My son, why didn't you?" Yani, he said in his, he didn't utter the words, but the thought occurred to him. You know, we're not held accountable for the thoughts. Huh? So he said, "My son, why don't you die so I am patient? Then I will receive the reward. Yani, because of you, I go to Jannah." Subhanallah, ikhwah, his son passes away. It happened that his son actually passed away. They ask him, "Kayfa tajiduk? How do you feel?" You know what he said? "Wallahi, by Allah, abulu daman min al-huzn. I'm urinating blood because of the grief over my son." It's a hard calamity. Because you need to realize this. The love that we have for our children is of a type called fitri. You don't act it, you don't pretend it, you don't pretend it. It's made up, it's encrypted, it's in you. Except the fitra is corrupt, that's another thing. We see sometimes, especially at this age and time, weird parents who kill their children. These are the odds, but the normal course of action is your son, your daughter, you love them by inclination. Fitra, yeah. Qissat Dawood and Sulaiman, the two sisters, al-Bukhari akhrajah. The two sisters, the older one had a child, and the younger one had a child almost the same age. So they were sitting down. The wolf came and grabbed the son of the younger one. So the younger one quarreled with her older sister over the leftover child, that this is my son, I'll take it from you, I'll take him from you. So they went to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam to judge, to sit on the case. So it seemed like the younger one was very good in crying and, you know, in presenting her case. You see, judges go with material evidence, they say. What is the material evidence? He ruled that the younger one gets the child. So in their way out, they are still quarreling. You know that this is my son. Who is sitting by the door? Sulaiman. He said, why are you quarreling? Why are you arguing? He said, this is my son, and your father ruled for him to be with her. And he is mine. He said, I have a good idea for you. This is the Hadith al-Bukhari, by the way. I'm just giving you the meaning. I'm not making up this stuff. Hadith al-Bukhari. He said, bring me a knife. I will cut this son, this child, into two halves. You get a half, and she gets a half. You know the older one? Shahaqat. You know, she said, no, give him to her. Sulaiman said, this is your son. You take him. That's how fitrah. That you're willing to sacrifice not having your son to say that had our walidalik. Look at the Quran. You never find one command in the Quran commanding the parents to love the children. Not a single one. Except one, which I will share with you why. Except one. But you always find the command for the children to love the parents. Because your love for the parents is from the second tie. But the one single command in the Quran regarding the parents loving the children, في سورة النساء يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. Why? About the inheritance. Why? Because some parents, they end up what? Having multiple children, and they end up loving one more than the other, and that would influence them to be unfair in the distribution of the wealth, the inheritance. Yeah. For Allah is telling you, listen, be fair to all of them. That's the only, but the rest is commanding us. When you lose your son, when you lose, but when this happens, هو قدر يا إخوة. قدر. And we discussed the subject of al-qadr before. Ya ikhwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ordain shar mutlaq, absolute evil. No, will never. But Allah may ordain shar nisbi. Yani shar nisbi. In your eyes it's evil, but Allah turns it to be good afterwards. But you don't see it. And the story of Al-Khidr and Musa explained this to us. You see, the story of Musa and Al-Khidr explained this so well to us. You see, Musa and Al-Khidr got a free ride. They got a free ride on a ship. Now, Al-Khidr has access to the future, to the divine knowledge and divine wisdom. And he was commanded. He started digging a hole in the ship. Now, Musa saw this from the eyes of what? Now. Now. He's judging the situation now. So he got angry at him. Come on, man. What are you doing? These guys give us a free ride. Imagine somebody gives you a free ride and then you start what? Messing around with his car. You give us a free ride and you're digging a hole in their ship. You're causing a defect in their ship. Later on we find out what, subhanAllah, during the time of Thawra in Egypt, we used to hear these stories that the people, because there is no security, the people would stand on the road with machine guns. So you're passing with your car, and if your car is fancy and good, get out. Get out. They would actually kill you if you don't just hand over the keys. But if your car is, yani, imshi. Why would I take a car like this? Again, the point is, there is always a wisdom. Now we go back to this calamity. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes the soul of the son or the daughter of someone, look at the hadith. Allah would then send the angels. And Allah knows. Go and find out مَا يَفْعَلُ عَبْدِي. What my slave is saying. What is he doing? How is he reacting? How is he receiving? Now, they will find him having good thoughts about Allah, expecting the best from Allah. And he would translate this in saying, Alhamdulillah. 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 So the angels would go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabb. He's saying Alhamdulillah. He's saying Alhamdulillah. Then Allah will say, Abdi, my slave, أَخَذْتُ مِنْهُ فَلْدَةَ كَبِدِ. I took a piece of his flesh, a piece of his liver. I don't know how to translate this best, but this is the best I can do. But I'm sure there is a better way to put it. Yani, I took a piece of him, وَيَحْمَدُنِي. And he's saying, Alhamdulillah, ابْنُ لِعَبْدِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Build for my slave a house in Jannah and call it the house of praise. سَمُّوهُ بَيْتَ الْحَمْدِ. Why? Because he's having good thoughts about Allah. He's expecting the best, that his son or daughter are in a good place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we live at a very difficult time. Ibadat al-qalb, at these times of trials and tribulations, the rituals or the actions, the beliefs of the hearts are so important to make you go on and carry on. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين له الحمد الحسن والثناء الجميل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you know, traveling around the Muslim world, which you don't like, I understand, but there is some sort of a psychological defeat in with Muslims. I understand, yani, it's in a way, yani, justified. you just have to hear the news, read the news, look at the media. Any bloodshed in the face of this earth, I challenge you. It is the blood of a Muslim. Just look into, go to the map today and go after every area where there is a conflict and there are people dying. Muslims. Muslims are dead. You know what's happening to our brothers in Syria, our brothers in Palestine, in Burma, and there is in Egypt. Allah ya ikhwa, Egypt. May Allah have mercy on the Egyptians. You may not be hearing this, but people are beginning to starve. Starve, food, basics. It's really tough. Psychological defeat that led to this. But subhanAllah, in spite of this, Islam teaches us to have good expectations about Allah and expect the best out of that situation and to stay optimistic. And I'll close my khutbah with that story. أخرجها ابن أبي حاتم في التفسير. ابن جرير الطبري compiled it as well. في تفسير قوله تعالى قل اللهم مالك الملك. The battle of الأحزاب, the alliance, or the trench, two names. It was named after, or it took two names. The alliance, because all the evil powers in the face of this earth got together to wipe Islam from the face and the earth, the face of the earth once and for all. Even Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book living in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ established with them ahd, a covenant, and he fulfilled his covenant. But they betrayed. They made an alliance that they would help Kuffar Quraysh. 10,000 marching towards Medina. You know that the number of Muslims, men and women and children, not the army, is not even matching this number. ولذلك شوف, go and read, there is a whole chapter called Al-Ahzab. Go and read the verses. What are we going to do? We cannot fight the enemy. Salman, رضي الله عنه, the virgin. You know, that's the beauty of Islam, إخوة الله, is a religion where, you know, you come in and you bring in your help. You help the deen. He said, O Messenger of Allah, back in Virgia, when we were faced with such a situation, we would dig a trench, a hole. You know, they used to fight with horses, and so they could not cross yet. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked the idea so much, and he adopted it immediately. He divided the Muslims into Muhajirin and Al-Ansar, and he given each one of them a share, go start digging the trench and so forth. They came actually, the fact whether Salman is a Muhajir, is an immigrant from Mecca, or Ansari, or from the dwellers of Medina. Look, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to reward him for such a brilliant idea, and he made that famous statement, Salman minna al bayt. Salman is from my family. He's from my family, Muhajir. Ishahid, the point of reference in the story here, that they came across a huge rock hidden in the sand. They couldn't even move it. You need to understand that they were so hungry too. Yani they did not have that physical strength. The hadith tells us that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was tying two rocks around his stomach with a belt just to hold himself because he's hungry. But they couldn't break. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, O Messenger of Allah, help us out. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came himself and he started taking care of that huge rock. He had a tool in his hand. So you know when metal and rock collides, what happened? Sparks. Sharar. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. Look at this situation. In this situation, look at this, Yahweh. Look at this. This is the attitude of a believer. This is what you call assuming the best about Allah and expecting the best from Allah. Look at this. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Futihat qusurur Rum. The palaces of the Romans will be Muslims. Islam will go to Rome. Istanbul. Istanbul, you know, Constantinople. Istanbul used to be the capital of Rome. Again, Allahu Akbar. All of Persia will be Muslims. Allahu Akbar. In Yemen, all of Yemen will be Muslims. We are a testimony. You know, look at this. We're here. We cross what, 7-8 hours transatlantic. And you come here and you find them, isn't that? That statement was made 1400 years ago. That's a husn dhan, being optimistic that you're trusting Allah, that you're counting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will deliver you, He will take care of you. Brothers and sisters in Islam, in closing, for you to have that servitude will established and built in your heart, your knowledge of Allah must increase. You must know who Allah is, His might, His power, His wisdom, His knowledge. You must get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you must strive as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who assume the best about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expect the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to finish with this, and I know I've been dragging you, but this is, I promise, this is the last thing. One last situation that you need to have good expectation from Allah is at the bed of death. When you're dying, or when you go and find someone dying. Our righteous predecessors, when they go and they sit next to somebody dying, they used to remind him of the good things that he did. So that he begins what? Developing good expectation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember the hadith I started the khutbah with? When did the Prophet make that hadith? When did he leave us with this will? When he was actually what? Himself going through death. وفي سنن الترمذي حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a young man who was dying. A young man who was going through the agonies of death. قال كيف تجدك? How do you feel? قال والله يا رسول الله said by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, إني لأرجو الله وأخاف ذنوبي. I have good expectation about Allah, رجاء في الله. But I'm afraid of my sins. So the hope is in Allah, not in your amal, not in your actions, in Allah. The good expectation about Allah, that Allah will accept that amal from you. And I'm afraid of my sins. You know what the Prophet ﷺ said to him? Abshir, glad tidings. Those two, being in the heart of a believer at this situation, accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant that person what he hopes for, and he will protect him from what he fears. Those two. فنسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحسن ظننا به يا رب العالمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، واهزم أعداء الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم وفقنا إلى ما تحب وترضى. اللهم خذ بنواصينا إلى البر والتقوى. اللهم ارحم أمواتنا وأموات المسلمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر دينك وسنة نبيك وعبادك المؤمنين. اللهم انصر دينك وسنة نبيك وعبادك المؤمنين يا رب العالمين. Brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight between Maghrib and Isha, we're having a mini conference one night. Inshallah, Sheikh Ahmed Nabhan from Masjid Al-Salam, myself, Sheikh Amjad, and Sheikh Hamdi from Masjid Al-Nur. And we actually extended an invitation to Imam Shafi'i, who's going to be the Imam of Colorado Muslim Society, the future Imam, inshallah, to come, but unfortunately he was unavailable. He had some other commitments. Again, the message here, you know, we want to just, you know, let's unite our efforts, let's work together as an ummah to help the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this part of the country, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the theme is raising children in the West. So you and your family are invited, inshallah, to come. It's a short one. Each one of us will have 15, 20 minutes, inshallah. Hopefully it will not be boring. And I think the weather, inshallah, is improving, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So please come and participate, at least to meet the mashayikh, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر
الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك وإنه المجيد والعليم والقادر القدير والحليم وإنه السميع والبصير والأول الآخر والستير الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك والظاهر الباطن والكبير والوارث الرقيب والنصير سبحانه البارئ والمصور.